listener production.
On today's edition of Footy Talk, we are joined by Nick Riewoldt, where he has his say on the illicit drugs policy. We discuss, do off-field issues really affect performance? And the surprise packet of 2024. That's all to come on Footy Talk. You are listening to Footy Talk. This is your place. You get all the news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. And we are very lucky. Every Tuesday, we have one of the all-time greats of the AFL, Nick Riewoldt, joining us. Happy Easter to you, my good friend Rui. I know you spent Easter on the ranch over there in Texas. How was it?
It was great, Joey. It was great. Learned a pretty valuable lesson about ranch life, and that is that it's not like the beach. You've always got to have a pair of boots on, because I went out to get a piece of wood, Joey, to just chuck it on the fire. It was dark outside, and being the sort of, you know, ranch type that I am, felt pretty confident in my surrounds. Roll your eyes. Felt pretty confident in my surrounds, and I walked out and I was looking for the light switch, and I was walking along this wall, and I looked down because I'd trodden on something, couldn't quite figure out what it was until it started going. It was a bloody rattlesnake, Joey.
What?
I trod on a rattlesnake with bare feet. Bare feet. And somehow it didn't strike, which is, I'm told, what a rattlesnake does, and sort of slithered off. And
did you freak out?
Called everyone out. Oh, mate, absolutely lost it. Actually, might have been a little bit of residue in my pants. I don't think I've ever shit myself that hard in my life, Joey. I was absolutely terrified. Oh. Terrified. And so I called everyone out. Everyone came out and had a look, and they just sort of laughed at me, like barefoot. Like, what are you doing, idiot?
Oh, man, that is
so
scary.
A bit of a close call for me, Joey.
Gee whiz.
So everything after that for Easter was a bonus.
Just a bonus. That's like my story. Remember the time when
just
I was
a
in
bonus.
Remember the time when I was in Albert Park and I thought I saw the snake underneath all the leaves, and it was the old sandal. I thought it was a snake, and I called the snake handler to come to Albert Park, and he goes, "That's just a sandal." So that's my story.
That's just a thong, mate. There you go. Yeah, full-blown rattlesnake. Unbelievable scene. So,
wow.
But it was good, mate.
Plenty of footy happening, and I want to start, as we always do. You've been over there for the week. What's your thought to come out of the last week or so?
Well, I've been stewing on this one for a week, to be honest. And we covered some of it last week with the Peter Wright suspension and whether that was just or not. But what absolutely shocked me afterwards was some of your commentary and your mate in there who's a what do you mean? What? You and Dale Thomas saying that we almost need to now be accepting as an industry of players pulling out of contests. I could not believe it when I heard you guys say that. I was disgusted, and I hope that alarm bells were ringing in Laura Kane's office, that two of the premier media commentators in the game were saying that as an industry, we should be accepting blokes being soft in the contest. So I've been waiting to square up with you on that one for a week. And the other one was the whole drug issue that blew up last week that made news over here, believe it or not. It has been a really big story. And here's my issue with it. And I know this is probably a little bit sort of outdated now that the issue was a week ago, but one thing that I don't think has been caught is, we've got a three-strike system that exists so players come forward and self-report, and that helps and does all of those things. So that mechanism exists, and that's always been a bit of my contention with the system, is that really you'd have to be an absolute moron to get done with the three-strikes policy, because you're allowed to self-report. But that's all out of competition. The singular greatest deterrent to in-season drug testing has always been that there's a chance that you will test positive on game day, right?
Yep.
There's a mechanism to circumvent that as well, as it would appear. And the AFL had admitted it. And there are no – the wash-up is there are no consequences for taking drugs in season as a player, because you can self-report. You won't get a lifetime ban or a two-year ban. The only consequence is that you might miss a game of footy. But if you're a pro – if you're a professional and you're taking drugs during the season, is that really going to hurt you not playing a game? Because I would argue that you're not a pro anyway, because you're doing drugs during the season. Mm-hmm. And here's the other missing link is, if you are then ruled out with a hamstring injury and you are getting match payments as a player, guess what? You still get paid.
So if you do the fake hamstring injury,
yeah, you still get paid as a player because you've got drugs in your system and that you took the week or 2 weeks prior. So I was absolutely staggered when this whole thing came out. It needs a massive overhaul. And the fact that you can be resting under the guise of an injury, still getting paid, having taken drugs in season, is that to me reflects a broken system. And I hope the AFL change it, they act on it, and they go about it in a different way, because I've been sitting on that one for a week and it just absolutely staggered me.
No, that's fair. And you've been strong on this, and that has been your take, I think, for a number of years. You have been in that camp. So that is a very good take. Hey, my thought of the week revolves around some of the stories that have been bubbling, not just this weekend, but in recent weeks, about off-field behaviour and off-field distractions and that impacting team performance. So I start off with the Brisbane Lions, and we don't need to get too much into the story about what happened at their end of season trip and some issues domestically when they've come back home. That was back in November. And now media trying to put links to their form and saying that some stuff happens that affects their form. There's the same conversation around when a coach is out of contract. Oh, it's a distraction for the playing group. You've got to sign the coach because these distractions affect performance. Well, Ken Hinckley and Port Adelaide showed last year when they let him ride out the year. They won 13 straight and finished top four. You even go to Melbourne, and there were people in the media that were over-exaggerating, oh, the crisis at Melbourne means that they're going to fall apart, and people had them out of their top eight and all these sorts of things. And there's even a smaller situation now at the Sydney Swans with Sam Wicks and another one involving, I think, an ex-partner of a teammate. I guarantee you the Sydney Swans form over the next however long is not going to be affected because of that. My whole point is, I think those in the media that haven't been on the inside exaggerate the impact that these outside distractions have on actual performance. Because like what you touched on, if you're a professional player, if you're serious about your football and you're a serious football team, you worry about what you can control. And that is your training, your recovery, and what you do on game day. And I don't think all these other things actually affect your performance. I've never bought into it. I think it's over-exaggerated, and we've seen plenty of examples of it right now. And in fact, with the Melbourne one, I'd love some of these people that had opinions that the Melbourne, their culture was horrible, and are now trying to say they've turned it around. Maybe look at themselves and say, maybe we exaggerated Melbourne's culture in the first place. Maybe because they do have a couple of players that were misbehaving, we can guarantee you that there are these things going on at every single club. And I mentioned it a few weeks ago. There'll be players misbehaving at every, or have some, you know, behavioural question marks about their, what they do outside the footy club. At every club, there would be distractions and issues going on at every club. And the media might not hear about most of them, but to say that it affects performance for me, I think it gets completely overblown.
I agree to a point. Say with Melbourne, right, where it becomes a bit of an us against the world mentality. What about, though, if what, and we don't know whether it's true or not, what about, though, if there is internal bickering and internal distraction and internal unrest because of something that, like has been allegedly reported, surely that has an impact. If players are at odds with each other because they've lost relationships or whatever that is, do you think that that's different to, say, the criticism coming from the outside attacking a group as a collective?
Maybe slightly, if there's some inter. But we've had players, Rue, that haven't liked other teammates for whatever reason, whether there has been issues. I mean, there was the famous one years ago, Tyson Edwards and Andrew McLeod apparently didn't talk to each other for about 15 years in the locker room, and Adelaide had a successful.
They won flags, and
they were two of the all-time greats. You don't have to get on with all of your teammates, but if you're a professional athlete and you go about your business properly and you put that to the side and get the job done, it shouldn't be an issue. I just think sometimes it can, and I'm sure there has been situations internally at other clubs where it has affected them and let them get to it. But if you're a professional team and professional players, you should be able to put that to the side and get to work and get the job done.
Winning cures all, Joey. They come out and win the next two when it's a non-issue. So, and it, just on Brisbane quickly too, like I think it's glass half full for them because, you know, they won the inside 50 count every week. They're just not really converting their opportunities when they go forward. So, look, I think a bit of a rejig of that forward line for them. Maybe Hipwood spend some time in the twos, build it around Joe. You know, they've got enough good ground-level players to be dangerous, and I think they can turn it pretty quick.
I agree with that. And I think the question though about Brisbane, Rui, is not that they'll turn around their form, because I believe they will too, and they'll play finals. It's a question of whether the 0-3 start affects them finishing top four or even top two for them to win a premiership, because they're not in it right now to finish fifth or sixth or seventh and make a prelim again. They're past that. They are in the great spot point to win the flag. Does the 0-3 start and trying to play catch up, and there's been a whole history of teams that really struggle from 0-3 to make a grand final, is that the bigger concern?
Yeah, because dropping games at home.
And that's the other one.
That's the concern for them, that it's harder for them to make it up when they've already dropped a couple at home. So, look, I think top four's a stretch from here. The margin for error is very, very small. But, could they win it from fifth, sixth? I would probably suggest not, because they haven't been able to do it with, rolled gold top four opportunities the last few years.
Spot on. Hey, one team that is actually going rolled gold and playing really good footy at the moment, the Fremantle Dockers, probably the surprise packets of the season.
Yeah, your boys.
So far, 3-0, playing some really good footy. Again, it's probably been one that you look back on now, and it was probably why I was more bullish on Fremantle than others, why I was really bullish on Geelong when others weren't, is you can have a dip year, and you've got to take the bigger picture into context. And Fremantle played finals, actually won a final the year before. So the whole adage, it's never as bad as it seems and never as good as it seems, probably was my thinking with Geelong and Fremantle in regards to their years last year. And the Dockers are playing some really strong football. The cornerstone was always going to be their midfield and their defense. I know people wanted to see them play sexy footy on offense, and I think that's actually affected the approach of some people in regards to another team that are struggling, the Adelaide Crows or Hawthorn, that people thought were going to spike off the back of their offense and how good they look when they play well. But we know, really, the foundation of a strong team has to be your defense. And Fremantle have that. They weren't able to get it done last year, but they are back. And the other thing, too, that's slipping under the radar, they are missing like five or six of their best 22 from their team. We know about Sean Darcy, but Heath Chapman is a young player that they really rate. Brennan Cox is a star. Oscar McDonald came into the side to fill a void in defense. He's going to be out for a long period of time, and a couple of other youngsters as well. So they have certainly been the surprise packet, but they get their biggest test this week against Carlton, who are flying at the moment.
And so what's going wrong with the Crows then, really, really quickly? What's the issue for them? You think just the focus on offense and defensively, they haven't built that foundation like say, a Fremantle?
Yeah, I think when I did my preseason analysis and you dug a bit deeper into the Adelaide Crows, it was obvious that when you let them play their offensive game and they can play an open style of footy, they were very hard to beat. So when they kicked 100 points last year, really, they were 8-0. So if they were able to score, they didn't lose. If you kept them under 100, they were 3-12. Well, all three games this year, teams have kept them under 100. They're now 3-15. So teams have gone to work and say, we're going to make this. And that's why the games have been scrappy. Everyone spoke about the Fremantle-Adelaide game as being a really ugly-looking contest. Well, if you're the Fremantle Dockers, you go in and plan that game and say, we're not letting Adelaide. We're not going to let Rochelle and Rankin and their skillful players get to work, and Tech's going to have open space inside 50. So teams have gone to school on that and made it a bit of a scrap. And I don't think their midfield and their defensive system is strong enough at the moment. They're still quite inexperienced and they're still developing to compete against better sides. So I think they've been found out in that regard, and it's up to Matty Nix and the coaching staff to find another angle and another way for Adelaide to win games rather than just relying on kicking a big score.
Couldn't agree more. And the Fremantle-Carlton game, I mean, to look at it at the start of the year, you wouldn't have anticipated that being the sort of matchup that it's going to be this week, but that shapes to be an absolute beauty. And I think great for both sides to have a really good litmus test against an in-form competitor this early in the season.
And you were big on Harry Mackay. He's flying. You could argue he's probably the in-form player or one of the in-form players of the competition. He's absolutely humming at the moment. Along with Charlie Curnow, they're going to pose a headache to any team in the competition. Hey, we will take a quick break because we want to get into real talk, shit talk after this. But if you are listening to Footy Talk, and if you do have a question for us, hit us up on Instagram at footytalk_pod or on TikTok at footytalkpod. If you're listening to Spotify, make sure you hit the bell and be notified when we drop a new episode, particularly on Tuesdays, the best show of the week. I'm here with Nick Riewoldt. Let's get into real talk, shit talk. This is where we look at the statements that have been made by some people in the media over the last 48 hours, and we say whether it's real or whether there's a bit of mayo on that one. Rui, first one
to you. I'll kick us off. Oh, I'll kick us off, Joey. Okay, I want to go first. So I've got one for you, and I like bit of an issue has been made about Tom Hawkins being on the phone in the rooms Easter Monday game. Big issue, Joey. Real talk, shit talk.
Oh, this is shit talk, Rui. I'm glad you brought this one up. I can't believe this is even a thing. There are a number of officials that are allowed to have phones in the rooms for all different sorts of reasons. And during the rain break, when the official just shows Tom Hawkins something on the phone, and we believe it was the weather radar, which makes sense.
Looked like the radar.
That's right. There's absolutely no case to answer. I can't believe that's been made a big story, but that's what we do in footy. So that is shit talk. Good start by you. Hey, one back at you. David King on First Crack, by the way. Good show on Sunday nights. He suggested Zach Merritt is the best captain in the league right now. Real talk, shit talk.
No, shit talk. That's utter shit talk from King. Based on what? Based on what?
Well, Bombers have been going, they've been struggling in recent years, and Zach Merritt has been the beacon. He has been the shining light with the way he's gone about his footy, the way that he's led, the way he's trying to turn this club around. And it was a big win against St Kilda, and he was huge in the fourth quarter.
No, give me Bontempelli. Thanks. End of story. I've got another one. Another one for you, Joey. Nat Fyfe, if Lee, this is a big call from Lee Matthews. When Lee talks, we listen. If he can get back to his best, Lethal thinks Freo can win the flag.
Well, there has to be shit talk in this because it's unfair to expect Nat Fyfe at 32 years of age to get back to his best. So it doesn't really, you sort of can't really marry the two up. That would be like me saying to you in 2017, hey, really, can you just wind back the clock 10 years and we'll be right? Yeah. Like,
if
you can't do that.
Pavlich back at full four, they'd probably win it too.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to say if Nat Fyfe gets back to his best. It's great that he's fit and healthy and he's playing an important role as that inside mid that's allowing Sarong and Hayden Young and Andy Brayshaw to get to work. So it's a great complimentary mix, but it's unfair to expect Nat Fyfe to get back to his best because he's a two-time Brownlow medalist, and I don't think he can get to that level, but he is playing great footy, and Fremantle can still finish top four. Don't worry about that. Hey, another one back at you. Richmond, there's been an article from Kane Corn suggesting that 2024 should be Dusty's last year, and he should retire with a bit of juice left in the tank.
I understand the sentiment, I understand the sentiment because you want your champs to go out as you remember them, but if I'm Dusty, I'm milking it absolutely dry.
100%.
I mean, what else is he gonna do? He's always gonna command big bucks. And the real world is
where's he gonna go earn 600 grand in the real world?
That's it. Well, at least, Joey. At least. So the real world is, it's a bit tougher out there than the footy world. So I would suggest that Dusty stay in the game as long as he possibly can and milk it dry.
And we talk about, what's his motivation? Okay, he's not going to win a premiership, but let's be realistic. This is a business. In America, we don't have a problem when players, for business reasons, go and make millions and millions of dollars. It is motivation for Dustin to play for another 2 years and pick himself up another $1 million plus. That is motivation. As much as we don't want to go there, you're still allowed to do that as a professional athlete in what we do or what they do as a job.
Absolutely. Last one, Joey, and it's fresh off the back of the Geelong Hawthorn game yesterday. The umps, they are treating Jack Ginnivan unfairly. Real talk, shit talk.
It's probably real talk. I think they are treating him probably unfairly, but he's not helping himself. He is still raising his arm, and we have been, ever since, it's probably the Jack Ginnivan rule, to be fair, it came in about 12 months ago, that if you are seen lifting your arm and you are contributing to the high contact, the umpires have been instructed not to pay the free kick. So he's not helping himself. If he just keeps his arm down, he would have received two or three free kicks yesterday, like everyone else did, for high contact. But he's contributing it to it, so I'd like to see him adjust his style first, and I guarantee you if he does, he will then get the free kicks and he won't be umpired differently, as is the case at the moment. So you help yourself, Jack. The umpires will help you, and then everyone's a winner.
Well, Sam Mitchell agreed with you. He basically said as much that, we encourage the players not to play for him. If you play for him, you basically forfeit all rights. So he's just found himself in a bad habit, but he's a good little player and he'll figure it out.
Hey, great to see you again, Rui. Always love chatting. We'll do it again next Tuesday. Of course, this is Footy Talk. If you do want to get involved, send us a message on Instagram at footytalk_pod. Tomorrow, it's the best-looking duo in the business, Abby Holmes and David Zaharakis. They will be in to take a look at the week from a player's point of view. Until then, enjoy your Tuesday.
Listener.